And now today, as we continue with our studies in Paul's letter to the Romans, we are still in chapter 10. We want to look today at the closing portion of this chapter. Let me read from verse 13 to verse 21. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I said, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Sure, the Lord will bless to us the reading of His Word. Let us bow again for prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge Thee. Thou art the giver of every good and every perfect gift. There's not a day dawns, but we realize our need of Thee. We ask Thee at this time to look down in mercy upon all Thy people, especially those who are listening to this broadcast now. Give them the special blessing they stand in need of. Glorify the name of the Lord. Edify Thy people, and bring some poor, struggling soul to a knowledge of salvation. Unto Thee we will give all the glory, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, in our last lesson, I asked you, if I was to choose a text from this particular passage, what text should I choose? I said my choice would be verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That was for yesterday's lesson. Now if I was to choose another text today, for today's lesson, I think I would choose the first text that I read. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that seems a very strange, yet simple text. I wonder how many people have passed over this text and have failed to get its meaning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It gives a kind of connecting link between yesterday's message and what we're going to say today. We're dealing with righteousness received, and then from verse 16 to the end, righteousness rejected. Now, in dealing with righteousness received, we showed that it was received on the basis of faith. Now, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the point is this, if you have never called upon the name of the Lord, it's obvious you're not saved. Then someone asks, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? And then from verses 14 and 15, we learn some things pertaining to a divine order. First of all then, if we look at them in reverse order, we shall understand them better. Because it starts off with calling on the name of the Lord. Then he gives us certain links in the chain. But then, How shall they hear without a preacher? There is where it starts, with the proclamation of the truth. We pointed out in yesterday's lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ, before he left this earth, he commissioned his disciples to go and preach the gospel. They were to be witnesses for him, first in Jerusalem and Judea, then on to Samaria, and from there to the uttermost parts of the earth. They were to go and preach the gospel. Now, I should make it perfectly clear to all my listeners today that in this day and generation, in this age of grace, God is not sending angels from heaven to preach the gospel. What we have today is the message of the gospel proclaimed by human lips to human ears, one man becoming the messenger to another. And he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, in connection with the preacher and his preaching, he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? At the present time, I would remind you that there are some men who are self-sent. That is, they have presumed to deliver the message. And then you have some people who are men sent. That is, they've been sent out by certain schools of men, sent out by certain committees of men. But no committee and no school has any authority from God to commission any man to go and preach the gospel. How shall they preach except to be sent? Then how are they sent? Let me remind you of what is said about John. It said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Also, if you read through the Acts of the Apostles and through the epistles, you'll discover that Paul was a man sent of God. Then you must admit with me that the apostles were sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, specially commissioned. Men are God-sent men, and if we're not sent by God to proclaim the message, far better for us if we keep quiet. There are men today who are professing to be religious leaders, and it's obvious that what they're saying is not the message of God, therefore they're not sent of God. How shall they preach except they be sent? So here is the first thing, preaching. It's the word by those who are sent. And the gospel message to be preached is how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried, and how he was raised again according to the scriptures. But now, after that, there is the next thing. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? So that if the preacher goes out and preaches, the next thing is, someone has got to hear. Now, I want to remind you again that we have emphasized even in this chapter that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the preacher preaches the word of God, which is also the word of truth and the word of life. And the preacher preaches that word. It falls on human ears, and men have got to hear. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then again, when you go to the last book of the Bible, the message, or messages, for there are seven of them, sent to the seven churches, have all got this particular verse, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, if God has spoken, and he has, then it falls upon us the responsibility of inclining our ear and listening to the message that is declared. You see, it's not just a matter of letting the sound fall on our eardrums. It's a matter of inclining the ear in order to listen to the message and to listen intently to the message so that we get its full meaning. You know, it's so easy for a group of people to listen to a man. For example, if the president makes a speech, then immediately his speech is made, you have different men who are giving their reactions to that speech. One says, oh, it was like this to me. Another says, no, it sounded like this to me. And so each one gives his own particular reaction to what was said. The point is this. We've got to listen intently, as it were, with a strained ear, in order to catch not only the words, but to get the meaning of what is said, so that we've got to hear. We've got the capacity to hear, and there is the responsibility to listen in order to hear the message. For faith cometh by hearing. Now he said, but how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Now, how can you believe a thing that you've never heard? That's an impossibility. When children go to school, it's the teacher's business to teach the children. And if you were to question these little ones when they come home from school as to what they have learned, or if you look at the textbooks, you will see that the teacher is teaching them things line upon line, precept upon precept. They don't learn everything in the first grade. They only learn certain basic principles. Then they go on from there to the next grade and so on. It would be altogether wrong to try and teach children in the first grade the lessons that are prepared for those in the sixth grade. Now then, we've got to hear first. You cannot believe what you don't know. Now, it's possible to believe what you just don't understand. For example, I don't understand very much about electricity. In fact, I know little or nothing about electricity. I do know that it gives me light. I do know that it gives me power. And it gives me heat. I know that. Because if I switch on, I get the light. Or I can switch on or plug in for power, or switch on for heat. So I know that electricity gives me light, gives me power, gives me heat. But don't ask me to explain electricity, I couldn't. I know little or nothing about electricity. Then what I believe is only what I know. You see, you cannot believe what you don't know. But you may not understand. For example, I don't understand the incarnation. I don't understand how the eternal God could confine himself to that body in the womb of the Virgin. That is a great mystery to me. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I believe it because God says it. And if the Word of God says that His Son was born into this earth through the Virgin, I believe such a thing. I do not believe things that I don't know, but I do believe things I cannot fully understand. Now, you're not asked to fully explain or understand all the things pertaining to Christ in His death and His resurrection. But you are asked to believe them because these things have been made known. See, the gospel presents a person, Jesus Christ. The preacher tells you of a Savior. He tells you how the Savior died. He tells you how he was buried, how he was raised again, and that through believing in him, you can have life through his name. The preacher tells you that. Your responsibility is to be obedient and believe. How shall they believe on him and whom they have not heard? If one hasn't heard the message of the gospel, if one hasn't heard about Jesus Christ, how can they possibly believe in him? So there's the great necessity of the preacher being sent. there is the necessity for the preacher preaching the correct truth. Then there is the necessity for those who have ears to hear to listen to the message, and then to accept the message and believe. That's faith. But now, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If a person doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they've got no confidence in him, they'll not call on him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who is it that calls on the name of the Lord? First of all, the one who has inclined the ear to listen to the message that was proclaimed by the preacher. And having listened to the message, he believes the message of the gospel concerning Christ in his birth, his life, his death, and his glorious resurrection. He believes that. And because he believes that Jesus Christ has the power to save him, then he calls on him for salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice, here is the sufficiency of the supply of salvation. The offer is made to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Notice the simplicity of the terms. Whosoever shall call. It doesn't say whosoever shall keep the law. It doesn't say whosoever shall work. It doesn't say whosoever shall pray. It doesn't say whosoever shall pay. The point is, whosoever shall call. Oh, the simplicity of the terms, calling upon the name of the Lord. Notice the source of the blessing. It's the name of the Lord. It's not a matter of calling upon the preacher. It's not a matter of calling upon some counselor. It's a matter of calling upon the name of the Lord. There is the source of the blessing. Salvation is of the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And then here is the satisfactory condition, shall be saved. I remind you again that salvation is a personal thing. Men and women get saved as individuals. It's a positive thing. It's something you can be absolutely sure about, thou shalt. And then it's a permanent thing. Salvation is salvation from the penalty of your sins. It's salvation daily from the power of sin. And it's salvation from the very presence of sin when the Lord comes to take his waiting people home. But now look, we must draw your attention to the closing verses of this particular passage. Faith cometh by hearing then, and hearing by the word of God. Now the question is asked, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Did not Israel know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But then Isaiah comes again, he's very bold, and he says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. You see, the whole thing is here, from verse 16, right to the end of the chapter. Then, the question is, who has believed our report? First of all, Israel as a nation, right here, rejected the preaching of the gospel. The gospel was first preached on the streets of Jerusalem. The leaders of the people resented it. As a nation, they rejected the message. When you come to Acts chapter 7, there you find Stephen giving that memorable sermon to the leaders of the people. They rejected the message and put the man to death. Israel, as a nation, rejected the preaching of the gospel, which means they rejected the message of the gospel. They heard, but they did not believe. So therefore, because they did not believe, they did not call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. Now, Israel also rejected the prophetic scriptures, because he's quoting here from a way back the prophecy of Isaiah, and he's quoting also from Moses, and so therefore, we're learning this, that they rejected the message through their own prophets. Did not Isaiah cry out, who had believed our report? He was the messenger of God. He was sent of God to declare God's message to the nation. But when he as a prophet spoke to them, they rejected the message. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, they rejected him, and they put him on a cross. When the gospel was preached by the apostles, the nation of Israel rejected that message. They did not obey the gospel. Now, says God, I've been stretching forth my hands. I've been pleading with you, just the same as the Lord himself said when he was here on earth, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. You see, he pled with them. He invited them. God has been holding, as it were, out his hands to the nation and pleading with them. He pled with them through their prophets. He pled with them through the Lord Jesus Christ. He pled with them through the early preachers, through the apostles. But it was like holding out his hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people, like a mother holding out her hands to a child, and the little one stomps its foot and turns away and says, I will not come. Israel as a nation then rejected the pleadings of God. At the present time, we are in the dispensation of God's grace, when the message of salvation is sent to all peoples, and Israel as a nation is set aside till the completion of the church, and then God again will take up his dealings with Israel and fulfill his promises to them. But at the present time, the message of salvation is sent out to whosoever will. Now, if we are going to learn any lesson at all from this passage, we've got to learn this, that it's possible for righteousness to be received. It's also possible for righteousness to be rejected. Now remember, these were religious people. They were an ultra-religious nation. They had received some great promises from God. The blessings of God had been upon them, and yet they had rejected God's message sent through the prophets, sent through Christ himself, and the message delivered to them through the gospel. In plain words, they turned deaf ears to the message of God. They turned their backs on God, and they rejected the righteousness that was offered to them by faith in the gospel. If they had received Christ, then God would have received them. Now at the present time they're set aside. Now, if that is true concerning a nation, and the message of the gospel now is going out to whosoever will, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to ask every listener today, friend, have you accepted this righteousness from God, as it is presented in the person of Christ, in the message of the gospel? Or are you still rejecting this righteousness? Are you still going about seeking to establish your own righteousness? Are you so religious that you think that you can have an acceptance with God on your own basis? Do you think that by your own good work, and by your own sincerity, that God is going to make an exception with you and accept you? If that's your idea, my friend, then you're wrong. Don't you see, God makes the offer. The offer is made today through the message of the gospel. The message is preached to you. But you can either receive this righteousness by faith, or you can reject it and be lost. He's stretching out his hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And men and women today are just acting in the same way as Israel acted as a nation. And they're saying in effect, away with him, let him be crucified, we can work out our own salvation. I hope that all listening to my voice today will take the true path, that you'll exercise faith in Jesus Christ and see that salvation is bound up in him.